Well, good morning again. And for those who've just come in that are fathers, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Pastor Gary asked me to preach this week. And he wanted me to preach to everyone, obviously, but he wanted me to encourage the fathers. Encouragement could come in a couple different ways, depending on who you're talking to. It could be like Mother's Day, where we say, hey, everyone, love your moms. Rise up and call them blessed. Don't make them cook breakfast. Get them cards, perfume from Ross. Take a picture with them at our nice photo booth. Or on Father's Day, the encouragement is get up, men. Start acting like men. Love, listen, lead. I know you're trying to do it, but do a little bit more. By the way, you're buying your family lunch today. Or you can grill out. It's up to you. Or you could go out into the parking lot and take a picture by a car because we don't have a photo booth for you. Thank you, dads, right? Moms get all the treats. They deserve them, though. They deserve them, right? They deserve them. I'm not going to argue that. But what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about what Joshua, God tells Joshua. And there's going to be a phrase we're going to hear a lot. It's going to be strong and courageous. Now, when I was growing up, dads were the strong and courageous ones, right? If you saw, if you had a lid that could not get off a jar, dad. Saw something that needed to be moved, some furniture, something heavy, dad. You know, big roach, spider, dad. Noise in the carport, dad. Car gets scratched by the teenage driver, mom. Because she reassures us that it's going to be okay, at least they're alive. They were texting while backing out. There was no danger. But they let us know it's okay. Pain could be repaired. But strong and courageous is not just for dads. This is not just going to be a message for dads today. I know not everyone in this room is a father. Though I will have a couple points I'll slide in there, dads, for us. But my thought was, if we had to be convicted today, let's everyone get convicted together. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible teaches that every one of us should be strong and courageous. So if you would, could you start making your way to Joshua, the book of Joshua? As we do, you know, everyone wants to be strong and courageous. They don't want to be afraid. In fact, there's an article out there in the American Journal of Managed Care that says more than 12 billion dollars are spent annually on phobia management, meaning not being afraid. And the truth of the matter is, we all have different fears, and some of them aren't bad fears. I've got a fear of being hit by a car. That's why I look both ways when I cross the street. I have a fear of falling from an extreme height in the air. That's why I will never try to fly without an airplane or a helicopter. Some fears are actually ignored. I obviously don't have a fear of diabetes because I still drive through McDonald's. But the truth of the matter is, fears are all around us. And we're going to look at a man, though he's mighty and he's great, obviously had fears, because all throughout Joshua, before we get into the book of Joshua, when Moses says, hey, you're next up in line, God told me, you're next up in line, be strong and courageous. And then we're going to read in the passage today, God says to Joshua multiple times, be strong and courageous. So obviously there's fears that are out there, and these are fears that we have to overcome. And we have to be diligent in that so we don't stop doing what we're supposed to do. I got to get my clicker. I just found out where it was. I was wondering where it is. Now we can go to the next slides. But being strong and courageous. So as we're going towards this passage, let me just get a couple things out of the way. We're going to hear about land a little bit. You're going to hear about going to the land, take the land. And if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, there's three promises that were given to Abraham. Three promises. First was offspring. An initial child. Remember, Abraham and Sarah did not have a child yet. They had a promise of having an initial child. They were older in age. They were in their late 90s, hundreds. They did not have a child. And he says, you are going to have a child. But also he had a promise of this future offspring, which we know now is Jesus, one that will bless all nations, which is the second promise that God made to Abraham. Through you, all nations will be blessed. Ultimately, this comes through the offspring, Jesus Christ. And then we have this third one, which is the land. So if you read throughout the Old Testament, you keep on hearing land, the land which I promised you. This promise was made to Abraham, who's the father of the nation of Israel. And it's a promise that God himself made to Abraham. You can read all about these three promises and covenants in Genesis 12 through 17. And the idea, the picture of the land here that he's talking about is a place, a sacred place where God is going to be able to demonstrate to the surrounding nation what it looks like to live under divine rule and blessing. It's a place, it's a location in which God is going to show everyone else, so it could be a blessing to all nations, show everyone else how God will lead his people and why the other nations should come to this God, to this land, to this location. Ultimately, this will be fulfilled in the fact that God will make a new heaven and a new earth, and the whole earth will now be this land that has been promised. But this is what we're talking about when he's saying there. So what I want you to remember about this is that God promised this land. So when we talk about the land here, this is something that God has promised to these people, and God is asking Joshua to step into this. And we're going to look today at the commission of Joshua. Joshua, we first see Joshua in Exodus 17. I don't know if you remember the story in the Old Testament where there was a battle going on, and as long as Moses had his hands up in the air, the victory was Israel's. And when his arms would start to droop down and fall down, you know, the battle would turn the other direction. The Amalekites would start gaining ground. This is the first time we hear it. Joshua's the one on the ground. Moses and Aaron and Hur are up on the mountain. And this is the first time. So we know he's a great general. And we know he's been used by God. Then we see him later on. The next time we see Joshua is actually when Moses is up at, this was previously, but the next time in the scriptures we see him is when Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments from God. Joshua is actually the closest to Moses. If you read the story, many stayed down at the bottom of the mountain. Some came up part way, and then Moses and Joshua went the rest of the way. Joshua stopped at the tent. Moses went the rest of the way up. So we've got Joshua. He's seeing these things of Moses. In fact, he was Moses' assistant, kind of like Elijah and Elisha. He was with Moses through the Ten Commandments. He was with Moses as Moses came down and saw the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf. He was with him during these times. Then we see Joshua as one of the 12 spies. Remember, 12 spies went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. He was one of the two that were good. He went into Canaan saying, God said, this is the promised land. Let go out and scout this land. 10 people came back, said, God's not strong enough. God can't do this. And then Caleb and Joshua were the two that said, no, God is strong enough. This is the land that he has promised us. So Caleb and Joshua are actually the only ones from their generation who are alive at this point, at this commissioning. They are the only two from that generation who are going to step in to the promised land. So he's seeing God's power. He's seeing God's concern about sin. He's even seen his leader, the one he was following, is not going to be able to enter into the promised land because of his sin. So Joshua is not naive. This wasn't like the Lord came to Moses and said, hey, we're going to pick. Like I had a college professor who only knew my name and someone else's name. And every day he would have students pray. So literally every day he'd go, Ken, lead us to the throne of grace. And Hannah was the other one. Hannah. And we would joke because it was only ever us. It was just like, but why did you do this? You knew who you're going to pick. God knew who he was going to pick. Joshua was not someone new to the program here. Joshua wasn't someone who hadn't seen God work, hadn't been used by God already. But you wonder, as we read through this and we look at the great things Joshua does in the book of Joshua, we wonder, why did God continue to say, you know, be courageous, be strong? Well, I think because the Bible also says that Joshua was very wise. Listen, he was very aware of God. He was aware. He saw God. He was probably in his late 30s, early 40s when they were in Egypt. He saw the 10 plagues God accomplished. He saw the Red Sea swallow up the armies of Egypt. Like I said earlier, he was closest to the presence of God other than Moses on the mountain. He saw victories. He saw consequences of sin that affected the whole nation of Moses. He saw all of these things, the rebellion of the people, the difficulties of going through the wilderness, the difficulties of the battles that they had to face. I've got to believe, because he was so wise, he probably wasn't eager to jump into this. He probably realized, I'm probably getting in this thing a little, it's a little over my head. I don't know if I'm ready for this. But God didn't give him an option. God commissioned him. Those in the military understand this better than anyway. It's an official assignment or mandate given by someone in authority to carry out a specific mission on their behalf, the authority's behalf, not on the person's behalf. So here we go. Here's Joshua. This is where we're at. Joshua, again, he knows God. He knows the people. He knows what's ahead of him. He's fought the battles. He knows what's coming. And God says, I am going to make you the one. So read with me here. You could read or you could follow along on the screen here. And Joshua 1 through 11 here is where we're going to end up. But after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness that is Lebanon, far to the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, the great sea, toward going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. So only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, the servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here's a commission, and what does he do? And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and to go to take the possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. This is the commission of Joshua. This is what it was. The commission was, arise, go, lead the people into the land, which I promised. He says, arise and go. Moses is gone. You need to continue my work. Moses was the agent of my work before. Moses is gone. You need to continue. Arise, get up and go. And be strong and courageous. We're going to look at that deeper here in a second, because I am with you. And actually, if you read throughout the book of Joshua, you would see that he did exactly that. He had his hiccups. He was not perfect, but he continually turned back to God. So this is a commission we're looking at. All right, arise, go, and be strong and courageous. Now, what does it mean to be strong and courageous? Well, these Hebrew words here, strong is firm and strong. You're unmovable. It's like when my kids were little, they would try to move me. That was the best game a father could play. New fathers, let me teach you something. Listen to wise counsel of a guy who didn't want to spend a lot of energy. One of the best games you could play with your kids is you get to lay on the ground and you say, try to flip me over. So you get a nap while they're having a blast trying to flip you over. By the way, if you put your arms out like this, it's impossible. So just lay on the ground like this. You get a nap. If you get a pillow, it's even better. Flip me over. I had a strong stance. They couldn't move me, right? It's strong. It's firm, unmovable, courageous, stout, bold, alert, ready to go, not fearful. Sometimes we think, yeah, that's what I want to be. And we grit our teeth and we're like, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to listen to hype music, get myself ready, you know, to be strong, courageous. That's what we think often. That's what I think often. Strong and courageous is something inside of me, something that I produce, something that I can do. But the truth of the matter is, God's going to show us what strong and courageous followers of Him, strong and courageous leaders, that He is calling to a task, which, by the way, fathers, that's us. We are leaders that are called to a task. The rest of you in here, that's you. You are called to a task. We're going to see that at the end. But we are called to be strong and courageous. But this is not something that comes up within us. This is not something we produce on our own. We don't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. This is something that we have to follow God's path and plan, because He says that's what's going to bring the effectiveness. So what do we see? Let's just simply look through here. We're going to simply look through this passage here. So what does it mean to be strong and courageous? Well, number one, go. They do something. Strong and courageous people, those who are strong and courageous, do something. They go. Do you see that here? And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the mist and go. You see, God said to Joshua, go, arise and go. And he went. This is a strong and courageous person. This is not someone who lets fear hold them back, who lets apathy hold them back. They don't hide their fear. They don't push the fear like this fear doesn't exist. Listen, if you're smart, you are afraid of certain things. Like I said, you should be afraid of trying to fly on your own. I'm just going to jump out of this plane and I'll be able to fly because I have no fear. No, that's called debt. It doesn't work. You've got to do something, but you don't ignore the fear. You don't hide the fear, but you deal with it. You're not sitting there passively, knowing there's a battle going on and doing nothing about it. You don't wait or stall. Again, that's what this passage, he didn't wait or stall. He said within 3 days, he goes, we're going. So they go. Strong and courageous people go. Next, they go and they trust God's promise. Those who are strong and courageous go and they trust God's promise. Again, they're not doing this in their own strength. They know that the battle's already won. They're not naive about the difficulties. They just know they are serving the one who's already beat the foe. You see this here in this passage. Remember, this is what we read at the beginning. He goes, go over the Jordan, you and this people, into the land that I am giving to them. God said, I'm giving you this land. If God says he's giving you something, he's giving you something. Like, who's going to stop God? Oh, that's what happened the first time. These people, you know, God, these people in Jericho, they're a little too big. They're tall. They're tough. I don't think you could do it. God does not like it when we question him like that. He's like, no, I can't. There's nothing that can stop me. They trust his promise. They go, I've given it to you. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He's like, listen, no one's going to stop this. This is the land I've given you. This is the land I've promised. I will come through on my promises. Listen, we can't go if we don't trust God's promises. Have you ever had a situation before where someone's asked you to do something? You're like, I don't know if I could trust that person. It doesn't happen as much here, but in the States, when someone asks you to help them move, I'm ready for you to help me move. It was 50-50. Some of you know this. You go to the house and they're like, hey, I'm ready for you to move. The good people, man, they got everything boxed. They got the truck. They got the dolly. They got everything ready. You pick up the box. You put it in the truck. You feel good about yourself. You could trust them. You could trust their promise. I'm ready to be moved. The other people, you go in and it looks just like they've lived there their whole life, and now there's like a pile of boxes and some rolls of tape on the ground, and you're like, thought I was helping you move, not pack. Like, what's going on? Listen, when God sends us, when he calls us, when he tells us he's going to do his part, you don't have to wonder. He's going to do his part. So they who go, who are strong and courageous, go trusting his promise. They also go knowing he's always with them. This is similar, but he sets it into a different spot here. So he wants to draw attention to the fact that, listen, I am with you just as I was with Moses. Now going back, you look at when he says, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. He, again, Joshua saw all this going on. Joshua was not naive. Joshua knew what happened with Moses, and he saw God's faithfulness. He saw God's power. He saw God's provision. He saw God work through Moses to stand against the most powerful person, arguably, on the earth at that time, Pharaoh. He saw him lead millions across the Red Sea. He saw him do miracles. He saw him win battles. He saw Moses do mighty things, and he knew, because Moses did not shy away from the fact that it is God who is doing these things. So when he says, I'm going to be with you like I was your servant Moses, he knew what came with that. I will always be with you, even if you mess up. And Joshua did, as did Moses. Even if you're fearful, just as Moses was, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I've called you to this task. I've commissioned you to do this work. I'm never going to leave you out on a limb, even if you're a knucklehead. I'm not going to leave you. I might correct you. I might come alongside of you and help you see something that you're doing that's hindering your ability to go, but I'm going to be with you. Throughout the scriptures, we see that God protects. He forgives and restores. He gives guidance and wisdom, peace and comfort, provision, victory over enemies, and eternal hope in this life and the next. So he knows that God is always with him. You can't be strong and courageous if you think God's left you to the side. You can't be strong and courageous if you think that God's promises aren't true. And then now he gets into a section, and he bookends this section. We'll see this here in a minute. He bookends this section with be strong and courageous, talks, and then be strong and courageous again. Kind of emphasizing in the middle here, hey, this is an important part of being strong and courageous. And that is be strong and courageous. Those who are strong and courageous, go carefully following God alone. You see that here? He says only, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. That's that first bookend. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Not part of it, not a little bit, not the pieces you choose. All the law. By the way, the law of Moses at that time, that's the first five books of the Old Testament. This is the Bible they had at that time. The rest of the Bible has not been written yet. We apply that to us today, the whole scriptures. But he said, don't. Do everything according to the law of Moses that I commanded you. And don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. He says, don't go anywhere else. Don't look anywhere else. You focus on me alone. You follow me alone. You don't allow. And this was something Israel had a problem with during that day. They would see the nations around them, the prosperity, the fun, all this, and they would think that those are better, or we can have just what God promised and have a little bit of this, or what God promised and a little bit of this. It's interesting to me that he says, don't turn from the right hand or to the left. He doesn't say, don't turn around. Often our biggest struggles are not turning around. You're following Christ and you want to follow Christ. You're a Christian. It's not about turning completely around and going the other way. Often it's getting kind of sidetracked over here and over here. He says, don't turn to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. We'll come back to that because he says it again. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This phrase here means back in that day, they would quote the scripture to themselves and to others. The word of God is being memorized and quoted to yourself. You're speaking God's word to yourself and to others. It's God's words that are coming out of your mouth when you're talking to others. You shall meditate what you're thinking. Meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written into it. There's that word again, all that is written into it. Listen, God is concerned that you follow everything the scripture says. Someone who's strong and courageous, you know, some of the times, I don't know about you, some of the times I'm not strong and courageous doing the work of the ministry. Doing the work God has called me to do is when sin is in my life. I'm not very strong and courageous. Have you ever tried to talk to a child, your child, and discipline them or encourage them, and you're doing the opposite? It's like the conviction. You're like, yeah, son, you shouldn't be talking like this. And in your head, the Holy Spirit's going, yeah, like you. Yeah, right? It's hard for me to say to someone, hey, you need to grow in this area when I'm not growing in that area. It's difficult to be strong and courageous. But he says here, he says, listen, if you're doing this, if you're following God's word, not only will it protect you from things that can hinder your effectiveness, but it'll give you good success. He goes on to say at the end of verse 8, for then you will, it'll make your way prosperous, that you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? It's those bookends here, this emphasis on this area. This is something God really wants him to learn and to see. Listen, every leader who comes throughout the scripture has a challenge and given the responsibility to know the scriptures. Fathers, we are to know the scriptures. We cannot lead, we cannot be strong and courageous in the leading of our homes if we don't know the scriptures. It's not just kind of what we think, I think that might fit in there. I think that, no, we need to know all the scriptures. It's important for us to be men who follow God's word. Again, that's not just fathers. Though it's Father's Day, so we get a couple of those statements in there. It's all of us. We need to know all the scriptures. We're responsible to know all the scriptures. Ignorance is not okay. You can't say, well, I didn't know that law. Listen, the police, especially the airport police, they don't buy that one. Oh, I didn't know what the speed limit was on this road. I know that one from experience. Ignorance does not, no, you know. You need to know. He's given it to you, that your way may prosper. This does not mean that you'll be wealthy. This is not prosperity gospel. This is not the foundation to prosperity gospel here, that if you follow God's word, you'll prosper. You'll have a big house, big car, big family, big whatever. No, remember, he is calling him, he has commissioned him to a specific task, doing his work, his will. We see this in 2 Timothy 3. The Bible is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training. For what? For what end? For what purpose? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word makes it so that we can be fruitful. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 talks about this also. Paul is praying that they would be growing in the knowledge of God's will so that they can be fruitful, effective. So when he's saying prosperous, again, that doesn't mean a nicer car, a nicer home, better clothes, more money. This is saying if God's word is in your life, you're going to be strong and courageous. You're not going to be hindered or fearful because of your sin being found out. You're not going to be sidetracked by the things of this world. You're going to be growing in the knowledge so you know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what to think, so that you could be effective. You could be strong and courageous. Listen, when we have that security, when we know and are firm in our understanding of something, we're bold into doing it. Have you ever learned something new and you're kind of like nervous? Am I doing this right? Is this right? I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never done this before. But when we have been constantly thinking through something and have done it multiple times, we have a security. We're courageous as we jump into this project because others might look at it and go, man, that's a big deal. I don't know how to do that. And you're like, I've done this multiple times. There's zero fear. That's what he's talking about. We've got to understand God's word the more we understand. And then finally here, those who are strong and courageous go and lead others to go. Those who are strong and courageous go and lead others to go. You saw that at the end in verse 11, he says, in 3 days, we're going to get up and we're going to go. But can we jump ahead real quick? You don't need to turn there, but to chapter 23 and 24 of Joshua. Joshua is literally almost verbatim saying what God just said to him to the people. And it ends it in the middle of this, kind of the lower third of this section, we get to this verse, which I know you've heard before, and that is, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, your gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, leaders, those who are strong and courageous, lead other people as they follow God, but they lead other people to do the same. Joshua, the whole book of Joshua. Joshua is leading the people in God's work. At the end, he challenges them. He says, look at all the things God's done. Really, he says, look at his promises. He'll be with you always. Look what he did in Moses' life. Stay true to the word. Don't go after these other idols. Don't go after these other gods. Listen, you've got to choose who you're going to serve, because you can't serve multiple gods. You're either going to serve the God, or you're going to serve these lesser gods and deities that are not true, that lead to destruction. And he says, but for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Again, men, this is on our shoulders. This is on our shoulders to lead like Joshua is leading here, to be strong and courageous like Joshua is being strong and courageous. And it doesn't happen without God in our lives. It doesn't happen if we're not following this information that God has given it to us. These steps God's giving to us, but we need to lead others. So let me ask you a question. You said, well, I'm not a dad. I'm not a leader. I don't know, should I be doing this? So what do I do with this information? Have you ever gotten to the end of a message, and I'm not at the end, but I'm close, and you go, okay, that's awesome. Now what do I do? I always ask myself, someone told me a long time ago, when you're reading your Bible or you're preparing for a message, anytime you interact with God's word, you ask the question, so what? Not in a disrespectful way. You don't go, well, like a teenager sometimes, so what? Not that way. You get to the end of the passage, you're like, so what do I do with this? So what does this change in my life? So what should I remember from this? So what? So what do we do with this information? Can I tell you, this is what I think God wants us to do with this information. And it is not go after the land. It's not take over Jigo. We're going to go take over Jigo. That's what Pastor Ken said today. Let's go march around some buildings in Jigo and see like Jericho if they fall. No, that's not what God's calling us to do. We don't have promises. We don't have commissions to take the land. That was in that time. But we do have a commission. We do have a commission. And let me tell you something. It is important because we see it five times. Five times. Can I just read through these verses for you? These are not going to be new. And hopefully some of you are like, I know where he's going with this. Because listen, we have been given a commission. And when we look at the scriptures, the New Testament tells us, the Old Testament's there for us to help us, to encourage us, to teach us. The Old Testament, these stories, and I really think, personally, Jesus was thinking this story, this commission, when he gave the commission to his disciples, what we call the Great Commission. Because you'll see some of the verbiage is the same. Specifically, I will be with you always. But let me just read these real quick. You don't need to turn to them because I'm going to go through them quick. These are the five Great Commissions. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He's saying, I've got the authority. I'm not going to do this with every passage. But he goes, I've got the authority. I've got the power. Trust me. Go. There's that word. Remember? See that back in Joshua? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. There's that passing along. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We see in Mark, and he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. John, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Remember, Jesus is walking. He's not walking. Sorry, he rode. He went up in the air. It was not a walk. He ascended into heaven, but he was leaving this earth. Just like Moses left the earth through death, Jesus is leaving alive, going to heaven, and he is saying, you are now responsible. I am commissioning you. You are now responsible to continue this promise that I promised the world that I would come to seek and save the lost. I'm commissioning you, not just the disciples. This is for all of us. And then finally in Acts 1:8, behold, you will receive power. Here's those promises. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Listen, we have a commission. So what do we do to be strong and courageous? Can I walk through this quickly with us here? Number one, in our commission, we go and do something. Same thing. We go and do something. We don't just sit. We know the needs around us. The task has been handed to you and me. Let's do something about it. What have you done with that commission? It took 3 days of preparation, but he started it instantly. God's given us that commission. What are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? Am I going? Am I trusting God's promise? Be strong. Go. Trust God's promises. What did God promise here? Well, God promised we receive the power of the Holy Ghost. He promised his presence with us. He promised his authority. He promised us that his words won't fail. His words has the power. As we proclaim, tell all nations, as we proclaim God's word, the word is what is going to bring salvation. The word's what's going to bring life, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, when he says some plant, some water. It's God who gives the increase. He promises us wisdom. James says, if you lack wisdom, I will give it to you. Matthew says, Jesus says in Matthew, don't be anxious of what to say. The Spirit will speak through you. He promises fruit that he will produce. He promises there will be suffering, but he will sustain us through grace. He says there's going to be difficulties. And finally, he promises ultimate victory. Matthew 16, 18 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Philippians 2 says, one day every knee will bow. Revelation 7 says that there will be a day in which all the people in heaven cannot be numbered from every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. He promises this is going to happen. Just like he promised Israel, you will get the land. He is promising us that this will happen. We need to go trusting that God will always be with us. Listen, just like he was with Moses, just like he was with Joshua, just like he was with him, God was with Jesus and the Holy Spirit empowered him. Just like all of these people we read in the scripture, all those promises, all those things God offered them, he offers us. Protection, safety, forgiveness, restoration, guidance, wisdom, peace, comfort, provision, victory, eternal life. Be strong and courageous in what God has called you to do. Be careful to follow God alone. Can I park on this just for a minute? Because this is something important to God, as we saw in Joshua. He put time into this. He put verses and space into this. He bookended it because he says this is very important. Be careful to follow God alone. You want to be strong and courageous. You want to be fruitful in what God has commissioned you to do. You need to be closely, with all your strength, following all things God has written. That means you've got to know all things God has written. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, he's talking about the witnesses all around us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely to us. Let us run with endurance. That's the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated next to the right hand of God. Put aside those things. Look only. Follow only Christ. Follow only God. 2 Timothy 3:16, we talked about this earlier, though. The scripture is given. This is a promise given to us. It's profitable to teach others, reprove others, correct others, train others. Let me reread it again, too. It is profitable to teach us, reprove us, correct us, train us, so that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you're trying to do the work, if you're trying to complete this commission outside God's word, it's not going to work. And then finally, Colossians 1, 19 through 14. Paul is praying for the church of Colossae. He said, from this day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That you would have a spiritual understanding and wisdom. That you would be filled with the knowledge of God's word. Why? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then here's another promise, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the endurance, patience with joy. Listen, this is the importance of God's word in our life to fulfill this great commission that He's given us. You're not going to be strong and courageous in the Great Commission if you don't have the power of God's word in your life. You're not. You're going to be fearful. You're going to be timid. You're going to be ignorant. You're not going to be able to give any truth. And when someone comes to you and asks for an answer of in your life and of the truth, you're not going to know what to say. Like, hey, how do I, you go to church, how do you do? I don't know. God has called us to this great commission, but this is not something we grit our teeth, that we produce this strength and this courage in our own power. God has given us a clear way to do this, and one of them is God's word. We can't ignore it. And then finally, here, God has called us to lead others, just like he called Joshua. Right? We see that in the Great Commission. Go out and make disciples. Go out and lead others to Christ. Go out and lead others in their spiritual walk. Go out and be an example and lead others. Again, men, for us, we should be the greatest disciple maker in our home. If you're a father, you're commanded, you're commissioned by God to be the strongest disciple maker in the home. That's no one else's responsibility but ours. Often others have to come alongside when we drop the ball. But again, this is not just for the fathers. This is for all of us. So my question is to you, what are you doing with this? God has commissioned you, and you are called to be strong and courageous, just like Joshua. This is not just a promise to him. This is for us too. So my question is, what are you doing? God left us on this earth to continue to fulfill his promise to seek and save the lost. What's keeping you from fulfilling that great commission? Is it sin? Is it fear? Is it apathy? Is it ignorance? Listen, none of those things need to be in your life. God's given us a way to be strong and courageous. God has given us a way to overcome those things. God's given us a way to find forgiveness and repentance and restoration. God has given us a way to grow in the knowledge so that we can share and be confident in what we share. God has given us the strength through His Spirit to overcome the fear. God has given us these promises so we can be strong and courageous. Listen, these two truths go together. God has commissioned you, but God has given you the power to do it. If God has done a work in your life, you are called. If God has saved you and done that work in your life, you are called. You are commissioned to go out and spread the gospel. You are commissioned to go out and make disciples. You are commissioned to go out and lead your family. You are commissioned to take the gospel to your friend group, to your teammates, to your workplace. And He's going to go with you. He will be with you always. So let me encourage you today. Again, men, we need to be the leaders. Fathers, you need to be the leader in your house. All of us, we're all commanded to do this, but not alone. God is with us. This is something we can't do on our own. Let's pray. God and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for saving us. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we did. I mean, every work, just thinking about this, Father, every work you've done in our lives has been your strength, your ability. Father, all we're doing is following and relying and trusting your promises from salvation to this, what we just talked about. So, Father, I pray that you would help us be a church that goes out, as we sing here in a little bit, that we be a church that goes out reaching out into the darkness, knowing that you're with us, knowing that we can trust you, knowing that your promises and your relationship with us will never fail. You will be with us always, knowing we have your word to guide and direct us, to restore and us. So, Father, I pray today that you would just help us go, help us step up, help us do what you've commissioned us to do, and strength and courage that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.